Let's turn to Luke chapter 1. The message today is a visit with cousin Elizabeth. Notice the title I gave to the message because it has to do with preparing messages. This is a way that you can give a Christmas message and people don't know it's a Christmas message, you see. A visit with cousin Elizabeth. And we're going to read about it, and I have to give you some background because after some 400 years, God has started working in a supernatural way, in a miraculous way, and it starts out in Luke with the visit of the angel Gabriel to Zechariah. Look at verse 1:5. There was in the days of Herod, king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abijah, and he had a wife of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. So here is an old man, and the time when his wife Elizabeth could have had children is past. The time of life, she's not able to have children anymore. And so this is the background. And it comes his turn to go and offer incense in the temple. And when he does, look at verse 11. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And the angel tells him that he's going to have a son. And look at verse 15. For this son shall be great in the sight of the Lord. Verse 19. Having told him that, Zechariah says, how am I going to know this? The angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak unto thee, and to bring thee these good tidings, and behold, I shall be silent, and not able to speak until the day that these things shall come to pass, because you did not believe my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And he stricken done. Verse 24. And after these days, Elizabeth, his wife, conceived. And so the miracle has taken place. And she hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord done unto me in the days wherein he looked upon me to take away my reproach among men. Now, let's read about her cousin, Mary. And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Let me tell you that here in the New Testament they changed it, but it's really her name was Miriam, the same as the wife of Aaron in the Old Testament. Her name was Mary. And he came in unto her and said, hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. But she was greatly troubled, saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this might be. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. I must tell you this. In verse 28, he says, hail, thou that art highly favored. And in verse 30, when he says, fear not, Mary, thou hast found favor with God. However they're translated, they're the same root word from which we get, for by grace are you saved through faith. Hail, thou that art grace or highly favored. And then He says in verse 30, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found grace with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." And Mary said unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Wherefore also the holy thing which is begotten of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth thy kinswoman, she also hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her that is called barren. For no word from God shall be void of power." And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Now, this is a visit with cousin Elizabeth. Verse 39. And Mary arose in these days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she lifted up her voice with a loud cry and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? For behold, when the voice of thy salutation came into mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a fulfillment of the things which have been spoken to her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath looked upon the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the magnificent revelations that thou dost give us in the Word of God. Thou dost know that apart from what you told us, no man would know these things. And even though the ones that did know them, unless they were written down for us, we would never know them. And so we are thankful that you've given us the Word of God. And we are thankful for the homely way in which you teach us these profound truths. And so help us this day to understand them by thy Spirit, by empowering the lips of him who speaks, and preparing the hearts of those who listen. We desire for your Son to be glorified. We want to be built up on our most holy faith. So bless us to that end. We confess our sins. Be faithfully just to forgive and cleanse as you have promised. And indeed, glorify the name of thy Son, in whose name we pray. Amen. What is important about telling you what I'm telling you today, the way I'm telling you, is it's told because of a visit with cousin Elizabeth. It is not God just simply speaking from heaven, making it heard all over the world, that God comes and he speaks to one individual, and he speaks to another individual, and those individuals go and speak with one another. And that is what is so interesting. Because what we know about John the Baptist, we learn through Zechariah and Elizabeth. And what we know about the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we know through the Virgin Mary. How do you think, humanly speaking, Matthew learned about the virgin birth of Christ and Luke learned about the virgin birth of Christ? Who knew, other than Joseph and Mary, about the virgin birth of Christ? You say nobody. Then how do you think Matthew learned it and Luke learned it? You say, why, they would have learned it from Mary. And how would they have learned about how this old woman who ceased to be able to have children suddenly is with child? How would anybody know how this miracle occurred unless Cousin Elizabeth told? And so this is what God does. Instead of just speaking in a lifeless, unconnected way, truths from heaven, what he does is to reveal truths in a way either glorious or humble, in a way that is magnificent, or in a way that is so simple. Because in these two instances, concerning the birth of John the Baptist and the birth of our Savior, they were conveyed indeed by an angel, but in the simplest way. Now, in a magnificent way, with angelic beings from heaven, a multitude of heavenly hosts said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now, that is a magnificent way. But the things I read you this morning, an angel comes and he speaks privately to Zacharias, and an angel comes and he speaks privately to Mary. And the profoundest thing that God has to tell men are conveyed to these two individuals, and then we learn them second hand. But what is so thrilling is this. What is thought before when Mary visits her cousin Elizabeth is the fellowship of the saints. Two things have happened that are so rare that you will have to search your mind diligently to think of something similar. Go back to the time of Abraham and Sarah. And Abraham, when God speaks to him, is 75 years old, and his wife is 65 years old, and he tells these old people that they're going to have a child. And I think if I were Abraham, I would say, "Well, Lord, it had better happen quickly. I'm not getting any younger." And so the Lord waits 25 years before he fulfills the promise he made to Abraham. Think now. A woman is 65, and then she's 90 years of age. What possibility is there a woman 90 years of age having a child? It's impossible. I've looked at the records, and the only thing that they can verify is that a woman perhaps 53 or 55 years of age has had a child that is documented. But after that, it ceases to be after the manner of women. And so, when you have a woman 65 years old, well, it may happen, but when a woman reaches 90 years of age, you can see that it would be a miracle if she had a child. You say, yes, because I know. When I go to Pembroke, during the meetings, we go and have some refreshments, and there are two old ladies, and I sit with them every time I can. One of them smiles with what teeth she has left, and she's 93 years old. I suppose that woman were to tell me, "You know, I'm going to have a child in the next few weeks." I think I would burst out laughing because I would know it's impossible. So understand that what is happening now is miraculous, as it was with Abraham and Sarah, so with Zechariah and Elizabeth, and what is going to happen to Mary is miraculous in a way that has nothing to compare with it. If Zacharias and Elizabeth have a son in their old age, Abraham and Sarah could say, we did too. But there's no woman on earth who can say, I have conceived a child without knowing a man by the Holy Spirit of God. Tell me anyone who could make that confession. You say, no one. So, this is what makes the visit that I'm telling you about so fascinating. First of all, when Mary is told that she's going to have a child, and let me tell you when I believe the conception took place, Gabriel tells her, when she says, how can I have a son? I know no man. She's aware that she is a virgin. She's known no man. And then Gabriel tells her, and this is what she says, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And as soon as she gives her consent, I take it that this is when the conception took place. Now, what is so important is this, that as soon as the conception does take place, she immediately wants to go and visit her cousin Elizabeth. Why? Because the angel has given her a bit of information. He says, you are going to be miraculously with child, and your cousin Elizabeth, she already is with child, and it is now 6 months since the promise made to Zechariah concerning his wife Elizabeth has come to force, because no word of God shall be void of power. Now think. Here is a woman who is told that she's going to have a child, and she's been told that her old cousin Elizabeth is 6 months the child, and immediately she wants to go and see. And this is what is so fascinating. If you had been told such a thing, and you went to visit her the day after she became the child, well, you would have to take her word. But if you go after she's been the child 6 months and you walk in the door and look at her, you say, she is the child. That's the remarkable thing. And this is what has happened. As soon as Mary enters the house of Zechariah, who is the husband of Elizabeth, she salutes her cousin Elizabeth. And as soon as she does, this is what is an additional marvel from the scripture. As soon as she does, two things take place. She is filled with the Holy Spirit, and John the Baptist, who is 6 months in her womb, leaps for joy at the salutation of her cousin Mary. So think of this. God is giving us a revelation about unborn children. Our Savior is 1 month old in the womb of Mary, and John the Baptist is 6 months old in the womb of Elizabeth, and yet they're spoken of as being, as existing, not as man would tell you. There was no such thing as life until a certain stage of development. As soon as there is conception, God says, there is life, and this is a child. And understand that when Elizabeth speaks to Mary, she is giving us a prophecy. She becomes a prophetess because she's filled with the Holy Spirit, and the things she tells us are of necessity a prophecy from God, because she knew nothing about her cousin Mary and her condition. And yet, as soon as she comes in, being filled with the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth says, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. It's impossible for her to know, but God had revealed it unto her. Now understand this. And also, if I ask you, who is the first person who ever called Jesus Christ Lord? And the answer is Elizabeth. When our Savior was 1 month old in the womb of Mary, Elizabeth says, "The mother of my Lord has given me a great honor by coming to visit me." Remember that. Never forget it. That our Savior is called wonderful things by prophecy. That as soon as he is conceived in the womb of Mary, he is acknowledged as existing and he is called as Lord. So I want you to think of the greatness of this revelation that God has given to Elizabeth. Mary knows something about Elizabeth from the angel. The angel says, "Your cousin Elizabeth is with child 6 months." And therefore, Mary knows that. And she goes and she sees it with her eyes. It is confirmed. But Elizabeth knows nothing about Mary. And yet, as soon as Mary comes in, see, she understands that she is with child. And that child is the promised Messiah. And that child is Lord. Now this is a revelation from God. There are some who have seen and reject the Savior. There are some who have not seen and yet acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord before he comes into the world. The nearest thing to it is this. When our Savior was 8 days old, he was brought into the temple to be circumcised. And Simeon saw the Lord and took our Savior from the arms of Mary and held him in his arms. And he says, "Now, Lord, let thy servant depart, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." An 8-day-old child. And Simeon says, "I have seen thy salvation." That is the way those that are filled with the Spirit of God, illumined by the Spirit of God, that is how they see things. If a promise is made, some speak of it as being fulfilled. It says this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." And this is hundreds of years before he comes into existence. But when you speak prophetically, it is a prophetical utterance. And what God has promised is spoken of as already come to pass. And now, in like manner, before our Savior is born, when he's a month old, he's acknowledged as Lord. And when he is 8 days old, to be circumcised, Simeon looks upon him and says, "Now mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Let thy servant depart in peace, O Lord." So this is the eye of faith. There are some who see and refuse to believe. And there are some who have not seen, and as the Savior said to Thomas, "Thomas, you would believe because you've seen. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." I want you to see a little bit from this visit with the two, something of the character of Elizabeth. She's not like her husband, Zacharias. I'm wondering, God hasn't told us about this, but Zacharias had been praying and praying, and Elizabeth had been praying and praying for a child. And you who are women would understand, as long as you were able to have children, you would pray and you would say, "Oh God, I'm getting old. Please give us a child. Take away my reproach among men." And when the time would come when you knew that you were no longer able to have children, and so would you keep on praying, or would you stop praying? Think then, when a woman, let's say that she's 70 years old, it says they were both well stricken in days, they were advanced in age. Let's say that she was 70 years old, and her husband comes home and says, "We're going to have a baby." What would you think? And that is what happened. And we are not told that she was staggered. And when her husband came home, he was not able to tell her because of his unbelief. He had been smitten with dumbness, but also deafness. If you read the account carefully, you will see that he was deaf and dumb. And he comes, and he would be writing all of these messages. And we are not told that Elizabeth refused to believe. But in fact, from what we read about Elizabeth, we learn about her character, because from the Spirit of God tells her concerning the condition of Mary, who says, the things that have been promised to you, there shall be a fulfillment of those things the angels told you. And no doubt she knew that there was a fulfillment of the things that the angel Gabriel told her husband. So think of her as a woman of faith. It's when God tells you something that is impossible, because God does at times do such things. Here is Moses, the nation of Israel, standing at the Red Sea, and Pharaoh's army is behind, coming to destroy them. And God says, go forward. How? He says, lift up that rod. And he does, and the sea opens. And so God gives promises, and what is impossible becomes possible. With old women, with old men, if God makes a promise, the impossible becomes possible. And this is how the angel puts it. Zechariah refused to believe. I judged him with deafness and dumbness because of his unbelief. But I want you to understand that no word of God is without power. Gabriel knows it. And after John the Baptist is born, and the Lord Jesus is born, then Zechariah knows it, and Mary knows it, and Moses knows it. It says that when they went through the Red Sea and were standing on the other side, and they saw the drowned army of Pharaoh, then they started praising God, lifting up their voices, extolling the greatness of God. But what happens is that some, before it happens, extol God and praise God. Simeon looking into the face of Jesus saying, I have seen thy salvation. That's all that is necessary. That he would live, that he would become a man, that he would go to the cross and bear our sins in his own body on the tree. Simeon saw that in the face of that infant Jesus. But greater than Simeon was Elizabeth, who saw the lordship of our Savior in the womb of the Virgin Mary. And so this is the illumination of the Spirit of God. Now, let me tell you more about her character. Suppose you were 70 years old, and you had a cousin that was 15 or 20 years old, and she came to visit you. Should she respect you, the older, or should you, the older, respect her, the younger? You say, that's evident. Why, this young child should have great respect for her old cousin. But what happens is that the Spirit of God has shown the greatness of Mary, not as to what she is, but as to the honor that is given her by God. And this is what Elizabeth says. She says, how is it that the mother of my Lord has come to visit me? Understand that the greatness of Mary morally is that she is a virgin, but the greatness of Mary is that God has chosen her among all womankind to be the mother of the promised Messiah. And understand that Elizabeth knows that this one in Mary's womb is more than a simple man. She calls him Lord, the mother of my Lord. And so if you ask, well, when Mary gave birth to Jesus, to whom did she give birth? She gave birth to the Lord. She gave birth to the Son of God. And Elizabeth knows this before our Savior is born. Understand that some take long to understand who Jesus is. Others understand it immediately. Do you remember Nathanael? When he was told, we found the promised Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, who said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And they said, you come and see. And the Lord Jesus spoke but a few words to him. Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And Nathanael says, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. You see how quickly some
Understand? And some take the longest kind of time. Thomas says, I will not believe. And finally, he sees and is invited with physical evidences to ascertain the truth of this. And finally, he says, my Lord and my God. But now, in this instance, by faith, Elizabeth sees who the Lord Jesus is, and she understands it because God has chosen her cousin Mary to give birth to the Lord Jesus, that now she is the mother of Elizabeth's Lord. Think of the condescension in saying that, and think of what it might mean. That's purposely why I read to you what the angel said to Zacharias concerning John the Baptist. He said concerning John the Baptist, he shall be called great, he shall be the prophet of the Most High. So here is Elizabeth with one who is great, a prophet of God in her womb. And then a young cousin comes, and there is one in her womb as well. And she understands that though John the Baptist is without equal on earth, there is not a greater than John the Baptist, no one superior to him. Yet she acknowledges that the one in the womb of Mary is the Lord, her son's Lord. He is the greatest one. Now that is remarkable. And you've heard like father, like son. I want you to understand like mother, like son. Some would be jealous. Think of Korah and his rebellion against Moses and Aaron, his cousins. They were first cousins, by the way. But in this instance, like mother, like son, I've shown you the condescension and humility of Elizabeth, and now I want you to understand the same characteristic in her son, John the Baptist. John had a great following before the Lord Jesus came, and when he was on earth. But then the Lord Jesus came on the scene, and all of John the Baptist's followers were following the Lord Jesus. And when that happened, his disciples came and said, Rabbi, the one to whom you spoke, of whom you spoke, why, everybody's leaving you and going to him. And this is what John said, I told you that I was not the Messiah. He must increase, I must decrease. How remarkable. To find it first in the mother, and then to find it in the son. Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the preeminent one. And before he's born, even though it would put into the shade Elizabeth, she acknowledges that Mary's child is greater than her child. And that is the glorious thing. And understand that the grace bestowed upon Mary, the grace is the fact that she was chosen, given that great honor of giving birth to the Lord Jesus. And she understood that. He that is mighty hath done unto me great things. Why? I could understand perhaps Elizabeth having great things done to her. Her husband is a priest who can go into the holy place and offer incense. And Mary, tell me about your husband. He is a carpenter and he lives in Nazareth. And so your husband is a carpenter? Yes. Is he wealthy? No. When I have a son, instead of offering large animals, I have to offer two young pigeons or turtle doves. And so I am the wife of a carpenter who is a poor man, and I live in Nazareth. And yet God has come down and chosen me to give birth to the Son of God, to give birth to Jesus, the promised Messiah. And that's why she says, he that is mighty hath done unto me great things. Now, this is what I want to impress upon you, that you and I are going to fail as we go through life unless we have fellowship with people that are in a similar condition with us. Think. Do you think that Mary and Elizabeth would have a lot to tell each other, both of them being miraculously with child? You say, of course they would. Well, what unsaved sinner can tell you anything about God and bless your soul and tell you about the Lord Jesus? You say, he can't. I'm to go to him and tell him how to be saved. That is right. But what child of God who has been studying the Scripture, been calling to God to reveal the things of Christ to him, and he knows something of Christ, and you've been studying the Scriptures and you know something of Christ, but when you two come together, would you have something to tell him? You say, yes. And would he have something to tell you? You say, yes. And that is what God wants us to do. We are to bear one another up. We are to build one another up. And this is what is so amazing. The Apostle Paul says, I've been praying, I've been trying to get to you that are at Rome, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. You say, well, I can understand that. I want Paul to come and impart a spiritual gift to us. And he says, that is that I may be encouraged and comforted by you, your faith and my faith, building one another up. Now, who could hear such a thing? I can understand Paul building me up, but my building's all up being a comfort to him. But that's what happens when it comes to fellowship with the saints. Listen to what John says. And this is why you have to study the Scriptures and to impart it, pass it on to others. John says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you also, that you may have fellowship with us. Yea, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. He says, that which I've seen and heard, I'm telling unto you. Now, what have you seen and heard from the Scriptures that you can tell me and bless my soul? You expect me to tell you something, and I hope I have. But I expect you to tell me something. And so I come to you, and Lodibar, no pasture, barrenness. How embarrassing. And so I have to come and tell you everything. Paul says, when I come, I want you to comfort me as well. I know my faith, but I want to be encouraged by your faith. Listen to this, Malachi 3. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one with another, and the Lord hearkened and heard, and a book of remembrance was written for them who feared the Lord and called upon his name. Whom have you spoken to lately, and God is listening to what you say, and you fear the Lord, and you love the Lord, and you serve the Lord, and you talk about your service to Christ, the loveliness of the Lord Jesus, and when you are talking to one another, it says God is listening. Think of God delighting in the conversation of the saints talking about his Son, the Lord Jesus. And it says God writes a book of remembrance for them. And that is what God wants to happen to us. The fellowship of the saints. Then they that received the word of Peter continued steadfastly in, it says, the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, in prayer. And that's what God wants us to do. You have a certain spiritual condition, and your brothers and sisters in Christ have a certain spiritual condition. Mary and Elizabeth were alike, both miraculously with child, and they could talk about that, and you and I are both miraculously born again, and we can talk about that. Let us obey God's teaching in the fellowship of the saints. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we know that salvation is of the Lord. We can add nothing to it. And yet thou dost tell us that even though it is of the Lord, that you have instruments, you have men and women in Christ that we need. We're to help one another. We're to comfort one another, to support one another. And so, Lord, just as something great happened to Mary and Elizabeth, and they could tell each other about it, may each week something spiritually, a blessing from God, happen to us, and may we be able to tell others. Let us know that we greet one another. What's new? Let us be able to tell some new thing that we've found in the Scriptures. Sing unto the Lord a new song. And so let us have some new thing to tell, and let us also have some old things to tell as well. Bless us, and let us be able to have visits with our cousins and with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.